from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
I told you last segment, my confidence, my belief has never been lower on this Cubs team.
Giants win it. A walk-off walk.
Lower.
Man, it is low right now. Here's Cliff Floyd from the Marquee Local postgame last night.
As soon as the team gets down early, it feels like it's 10-0. It feels like the fight is gone.
Damn. 312-644-6767. Jake in Lake Geneva on 670 The Score. What's up, Jake?
The thrill is gone.
Sing it, Jake.
The thrill is gone.
Yeah.
The
thrill is gone.
Hey, man, I don't do this every day. I listen to you guys talk about it. So I take the information that's provided that you get from people who supposedly know.
Yeah.
And then I formulate my opinions, and then I sit on the phone and wait 10 or 15 minutes to talk to you about it. And you do a great job of explaining it, and you treat me respectfully. So I think the thrill is with you guys. I think the thrill is with you.
Dad, thanks so much for coming on today. Love you so much.
That was awesome, whoever that was.
Oh, the thrill is gone. Baby, it's gone. Away for good.
I have to hear that song again.
He's trying.
It's a very different song.
Getting that gravel going. Add some Len Casper in it.
Yeah.
The thrill is gone.
So,
Ernie.
The thrill is gone.
Oh, baby.
That's funny.
One, two, three.
And here we go. Here we go. Here we go, Jim.
Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons from 2 to 6 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That little "that's funny" drop from Benetti doing the Len Casper impression. That was the one thing that we didn't hit on Benetti Bingo today when he was on. But if you missed our conversation with Benetti or Nico Horner from earlier in the show, you could use the rewind feature to go back and listen. Something you can only do in the Odyssey app. Download the app, search 670 The Score, and tap earlier today to get started.
That's funny.
Not going to lie, I use that Odyssey app all the time. It's great.
That's good.
It's a really good app.
As an employee of Odyssey.
Not just that. Like if I check in sometimes, like, all right, what did I miss on Mullion? And I see the segments all written up nice and clean by the podcaster. And, you can go back and listen to stuff. It's extremely useful.
Yeah, pick and choose. Get your Biggs time. Get your Bruce Levine reports, whatever you might need.
John Heyman yesterday.
There you go. All things that would be there for you. Mm. Did you agree that last night felt inevitable for the Cubs? Were you expecting it? Because I'm taking no pride in it. This wasn't I didn't bet on it. This isn't a Holmes maneuver situation. I'm not saying that. But I will say, confidence level was pretty low in the Parkins household last night.
I didn't think it was plausible that it would happen again.
Really?
I mean, it's exactly the same kind of gut shot. Yeah, I mean, you know me, Danny. I default to the positive sometimes. I think it is a practical way to live, and I feel better when I'm in that space as well. And I thought it was, look, I talked to Colton Brewer the other day on Hit and Run. It's the guy.
That's cool.
He's a new guy. Like, oh my God, journeyman Colton Brewer. Pitched for the Red Sox, the Yankees, and the Hanshin Tigers in Japan last year.
Signed with the country, right?
Yeah. It's a new thing I'm trying to do. But Colton Brewer, I'm like, oh, man, he's the guy. He's the guy. So here's an opportunity for Colton Brewer. But, you know, it was the classic script, wasn't it? Leaving a lot of possible runs out there on the bases. The starter was great. Tyson Miller with 8 pitches to get out of the 8th could have just stuck with Tyson Miller, Craig. That's an option that you could have done. You've done that before.
You've done that before. Yeah, it was an option
where he continues, but got to give Colton Brewer a chance, but it's not like Craig has many good options. And we'll get to that part.
I don't think you have to give anyone a chance. I just think that the options are, they're not good. Smiley's not a good option. Brewer's not a good option. And Miller isn't even that good of an option.
They all knew. They all knew what the option was. Listen to Colton Brewer from Hit and Run the other day, because it was his first save ever. Last week, his first save ever. Dude's 31 years old. He's been around for a while, been a reliever for a long time. First save ever. So I asked him if he was going to get the chance on Sunday, if there's a save situation.
I don't know. I think it could be any one of us now. So I don't know. We'll see.
Man, it's fascinating. Could be any one of us. Could be anybody. They don't know. Council doesn't know.
You're fascinating at the end of that. He's doing a lot of heavy lifting.
Oh. A lot of heavy lifting.
I mean,
it's like the interesting that he threw in there with the Bukshambi interview. Interesting? I don't know. Because it's not fascinating. It's depressing. It's embarrassing. They got a $228 million payroll and no closer.
But it's fascinating that Council hasn't locked in on anybody. And it is not telling them that he's locked in on anybody, because he has admitted, and most people admit, it's good to know what your role is, but they don't know what their role is. So is this Craig Council's choice? But I thought Council was on the same level as Jed Hoyer. So is this Jed Hoyer's choice? So that's what's in my head then. And I've done a lot of thinking about it since then. And certainly after they blow another one last night, this is on Jed. As an organization, how do you have no option here on June 24th that you feel good about? Nothing. You don't have Hector Neris that you could decide to go back to. You could have last night, but you decided you don't want to. It shouldn't be Keegan Thompson. It's Colton Brewer. It's not Drew Smiley. He's miscast. There's none of the injured guys with Merriweather and Almonte.
And now Leiter.
But still, Danny, there's nobody in the minors that you could have decided to give a shot to here and given your guy an option, and you haven't gone out to get somebody in a trade without, you're just going to let it happen again and again and again. And I know I was a guy saying, don't go make a trade, but like, I'm not the guy in charge. That was just an opinion. Here we are. Your manager has nobody. There's no choice that feels like it makes a lick of sense to close out your ninth inning. How can you do that as a baseball infrastructure? Have your team with no pitcher knowing who it's going to be and your manager just freaking guessing on the course of a night. It's crazy.
How about a couple of solutions, man?
I've told you. How is Michael Arias not up here giving a shot? How is Ethan Roberts not up here given a shot? I mean, the only two other relievers who have options in the minors, Daniel Palencia, we know that Bernstein can't, that's based on last year, and Porter Hodge, who I don't think is special.
None of them are special.
Ethan Roberts has possible swing and miss stuff. Michael Arias at least comes from a weird arm slot and is somebody that the prospect overlords have talked about. How have we not given those guys a shot? How do they release Carl Edwards Jr. with absolutely no chance to give him a shot?
Well, okay, so in that sense, then you believe that the pitching infrastructure is bad.
You believe
that they are wrong about a guy that they have all of the proprietary data on, that they are watching, that they have seen.
No, what I believe, that's not what I'm saying.
Well, it's not Carl Edwards Jr. has caught on elsewhere and is all of a sudden lighting the big leagues on fire.
What I believe, I'm disappointed with the lack of roster churn in this aspect. You have decided to just roll with what you have. I mean, they've done some work. I know Tyson Miller brought in. Colton Brewer was a minor league deal at the beginning. Luke Little's been up and down. Keegan Thompson's been up and down. But you've seen that movie. I need more desperation. We're at a point in the year where I want to see more desperation and more freaking options out there. Because none of them are good.
I agree that none of the options are good. And I think when people say this, are you defending Jed? Are you a Cubs apologist? My thing is, man, can a player perform? Can a veteran player perform? Can Keegan Thompson perform? Can Hector Neris perform? Can Drew Smiley perform? When these other guys were there, before Alzolay got hurt, he couldn't perform. Now, Leiter was, but Almonte did not.
And Leiter was bad for like his last four appearances.
Yeah, yes, exactly. So he took even the shine off of him, even though he was the best relief pitcher. He was bad, and then he got hurt. So That is what? It's four serious injuries to relief pitchers, right? Merriweather, now Leiter, Almonte, and Alzolay.
And you could add Ben Brown, who might have been a closer option.
Yeah, no, good point.
And you could add Cade Horton, who probably would have been a bullpen option by now. For sure. So, you know, they're ravaged by injuries, without a doubt.
It's not a defense of the org, but six injuries to bullpen options, including a guy like in Cade Horton, that would be an aggressive ahead of schedule call up for not his long term role.
Right, but it might have made all the sense in the world. Teams do it all the time. We know that Jed was wanting to do it last year.
Right. So it's not an excuse. It doesn't make them look very good. Maybe there's something in the org about, are they not doing the right thing with strength and conditioning, or keeping guys healthy, or not scouting the right players? Now, I know pitchers get hurt everywhere. It's the nature of the beast. But are they having a disproportionate number of injuries? Council has spoken to. It's absolutely a valid question, and it's something that we talk about. It's not an excuse. It is a simple fact of, man, they are so bad at pitching right now. They have so few options that they chose to let Carl Edwards Jr. go. Mm-hmm. And are they wrong? Like, is he caught on somewhere else and he's getting saves?
No.
Getting big outs? Like, they are out of options, literally.
His walk rate was terrible in the minors. I mean, maybe... it's possible that Carl Edwards Jr. has no business in the majors anymore. He has certainly bounced around. But
who's the guy? I forget his name. We asked Carter about him. Went to the Cubs, released him.
Jeremiah Estrada.
Estrada.
I'm looking at him right now. He's had a couple bad outings.
Get him down there. See what he's got in your arm.
I was like, Jeremiah Paprocki's not the right answer. Don't say Jeremiah Paprocki. Don't say Jeremiah Estrada.
Jeremiah Estrada is part of, you know, I pushed back when you put the words in my mouth that I was doubting the pitching infrastructure, but I have my moments of doubting the pitching infrastructure.
And by the way, that's fine.
Because Jeremiah Estrada has been really good for the Padres over the course of the year. Two bad outings over the course of this month where he's given up multiple earned runs. But it's been 20 strikeouts in 9 1/3 innings this month after 23 strikeouts in 11 2/3 last month. And as Carter Hawkins said to us, the Padres taught him a splitter and the Cubs missed on that one. He admitted it flat out.
And by the way, it's fine if you're doubting the pitching infrastructure, but then that comes with, what does that mean about the starters who have been so good? What does that mean about Steele and Assad and the correct scout of Shota and all of those things? So, like, I don't believe that. I think that they have invested a ton in the pitching infrastructure and a director of pitching and top to bottom organizational overhaul of it. I think that they have had way too many injuries, certainly have not gotten aggressive in, like, jumping the trade market, which is a legitimate criticism. There are not a bunch of trades that are happening right now across Major League Baseball. Like, they haven't called the A's and said, hey, take our top three prospects for Miller, whatever.
No, but have they called the Washington Nationals and seen what they wanted for Kyle Finnegan? I don't know. I sure as hell hope so.
Yeah.
You know, because... You're watching it slip away. I feel like you are watching it slip away, and I do not feel like there is desperation. And when you've got a bullpen where nobody believes that they're the guy necessarily, and you've got a manager where nobody knows over the course of a night. And then, I mean, he goes with Colton Brewer, but then bails on him. When Patrick Bailey announces a pinch hitter, he's like, okay, let me go get the lefty. Let me go get Smiley. And then they have more pinch hitters after that, and Smiley couldn't find the plate, and it's a freaking disaster.
Oh, and again, it is a disaster. I agree. Like, I just don't think it's crazy that they haven't named a closer for the purposes of, like, having a defined role. Someone has to earn it. So someone has to pitch well for back-to-back outings. Like, I'm not asking for the highest bar in the world to clear here, but who, if you were Craig Counsell, who is your closer?
Yeah, no, I'm looking more at Jed than I am at Craig.
I'm saying
as of right now, with Ben Brown hurt.
Yes, tonight. Who is your closer, Matt Spiegel, tonight?
It's not an easy question to answer definitively with confidence. I'll throw it out to anybody.
I don't even know.
It could be on the text line. It could be on Twitter. It could be to the anybody. Yeah, anyone want to?
I think it could be any one of us.
Yeah. That's not a ridiculous answer given how these guys have performed.
It's the actual answer from the guy who got a chance in the ninth last night.
But so
it could be any of us.
But if you were out here being like, no, it should be Keegan Thompson, and you were going to bang the table for Keegan Thompson, okay, I would listen to the case.
Yeah.
But that, I know you don't feel that way.
No.
I know you don't feel that way for Naris.
I don't feel that way for Hayden Wesneski.
Hell no.
Right now.
Guy gives up bombs every time he's in.
I didn't want to see Colton Brewer leave the game last night. With first and second and one out,
and
having
eight
survived.
Days ago, you thought he was a no one.
But having survived last night, a base hit and a walk, he's got first and second, one out. I was like, hey, you know, go ahead. Let Tyson Miller go. Then it's let Colton Brewer go, because it's not like other guys can do anything in particular. I think there is an arrogance to the way that this organization thinks about bullpens. They think that their bullpen building machine, that their pitch lab and their development infrastructure can just make relievers out of nothing. And they've done it a couple of times. So they really believe that. But it's just, it hasn't happened. And I thought there'd be more aggression. Look, Luke Little is an aggressive promotion through the system. Daniel Palencia, extremely aggressive promotion through the system. Feel like there should have been more of that over the course of this last month with some other dudes who are down there. Michael Arias promoted to AAA. I feel like he should be up. So I just think it's crazy to be a team on the 24th of June with absolutely no one in the organization that you feel good about giving the ninth inning right now. None.
Can I give you something that is also absurd about the Cubs? I want to tell you about my day at Wrigley on Saturday.
I'd like to hear about it.
Okay. So
you brought a big pile of kids.
Too many kids. Two of them. It was two kids.
And you had them.
I know. Trust me.
I mean, Steph had them.
Steph had them. I was there for the delivery and the conception. Everything else, cheated.
I'm glad you were there for the conception.
I just wanted to clarify. So, you know, Sing take me out of the ballgame to them. They got some Cubs gear.
That was Owen's favorite song for a while.
Yeah, his favorite song. So we're like, all right. So Owen's been to a couple of Cubs games. Eli hasn't yet been to a Cubs game. But favorite thing in the world for him, choo-choos. Kid loves trains. So we're like, all right, this is going to be great. We are going to, on Saturday, we're going to drive to Linden, go purple line to red line, show up after first pitch, but try to time it so that we get there at like 1:30, 1:40, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Go to our seats, got seats, nothing special, like 200 level in the outfield so that we're, you know, don't spend a bunch of money on tickets. We're under the overhang because it's 1,000 degrees outside. And so we have some shade. But one of the big selling points to Owen, other than take me out of the ballgame, is ice cream in a helmet. Kid is obsessed.
It tastes better in a helmet.
He's talking about ice cream in a helmet the night before. Ice cream in a helmet on the train down. Ice cream. He's locked in that he's getting ice cream in a helmet. Dude, we're going to get you ice cream in a helmet. So we get there. We get to the seats. We'll start with a hot dog. All right, fine, but I want ice cream and helmets. We get the hot dog. Fine, no problem. Then it's going to be, hey, we're going to go meet Clark the Cub.
Is he a fan? Does he dig it?
He's like, I've already met him. He was fine. Clark the Cub picked him up. We took an adorable picture. Eli was very confused as to what was going on.
Clark, big listener to the show. This is a true story. When Danny threw out the first pitch and I was the umpire and Clark was the catcher, Clark looked at us excitedly and brought his hands to his ears to indicate headphones, meaning that he listens. Non-verbally did that.
Did it again.
Nice.
Steph, not a huge fan of mascots.
Well, and this one doesn't wear pants.
And the idea that there was someone in there who knew me, but I didn't. She was like, well, so do you know who Clark is? I'm like, no, I've never met him before in my life. I have no idea who it is. She's like, that's very freaky. I'm like, yeah, that's fine.
He slides into Shane's DM sometimes.
I've met him one time.
Oh, you have?
Oh, yeah. I met him at a bar.
I forgot that you met Clark in the wild.
And I've only ever told Nico Horner his name. Nico didn't even know his name.
How did he drink the beer at the bar?
He was out of the costume.
Oh. Yeah.
So we get back from meeting Clark the Cub. Okay. And Owen at this point is just, you know, he's like having a good time. But again, ice cream cup. So I say, Steph, hey, do you want to take him or do you want me to take him? Ice cream cup. She's like, I'll take him. So I'm with Eli in the seats. She goes down to the
the spot, waits in the whole line for it.
Oh, God, yeah.
Ice cream machine is out.
Oh, my God, of course.
So brings him back up.
What is this, a McDonald's?
Dude, nightmare.
Freaking nightmare.
Nightmare.
By the way, Texter says that your kids have seen Uncle Matt do everything in a helmet, so that's why.
That's exactly right.
They're in on the ice cream.
Okay, so now
yes,
it's my mission. Promise this kid ice cream in a helmet.
Oh, boy.
But we've got an expiration date on when Eli is skipping a nap. The seventh inning stretch is fast approaching. We are leaving the second this song is over. I've got to find him ice cream in a cup. No joke. We are in right field 200 level.
Okay.
The first place I could find ice cream is 100 level left field. I don't know what you know about ice cream and cups. So I am walking Owen.
Well, cups is one thing, but helmets another.
Helmets. The length of Wrigley Field to go get this ice cream. Then we're waiting in line.
You're bringing soup back home.
Soup. And get through the line. Get the ice cream. Get two bowls of ice cream with it. He is parched. He could not believe how long this took, this adventure. I'm like, dude, here, just start taking it. Out of spoons. So I plastic forks to melted ice cream. And I am, it's 90 degrees. He's a little dude. I'm trying to get us back to the seats before the seventh inning stretch. So I am carrying him and two cups of fastly melting soft serve ice cream. It is all over me.
Of course
front,
it is.
Back, he is holding it. It's all over him.
And that's when I ran into Roy Wood Jr.
It is when I ran into Roy Wood
Jr. No, really?
100%. Dude, I'm holding my kid with two melted ice cream things trying to get back from the seventh inning stretch. See Roy Wood. He's like, hey, you coming to the show tonight? Yeah. Like, I'm not coming to the show tonight. I got it. He's like, okay, go be a dad. Dude, Wrigley Field. I love you. We got to get the ice cream machines working when it's 95 degrees, and we got to have spoons. We can't have a spoon shortage. How am I going to eat melted soft serve ice cream with a fork?
You're not.
Okay, so the fun thing that I don't know if you guys know this about ice cream, when it melts, it then just turns into a milkshake. Drink it.
We drank it, but it spills when you're walking with two of them and a four-year-old across Wrigley Field.
Did you not trust him to hold one?
Heat, dude.
I wouldn't.
Have you met children?
Yeah.
Yeah, it, walking through large crowds and upstairs.
See, the problem with children is that they can't really do anything.
Yeah, they're so dependent.
They're so bad at stuff.
All right, so let me get something straight.
For a long time.
You've been pitching this as, man, what a nightmare, taking two kids to Wrigley on a Saturday, hot day. My wife's with me. I only really was watching the one because Eli was back with Steph.
Yeah.
So the biggest problem was the ice cream machine was out?
Yeah.
That was the nightmare? This is the nightmare of bringing children to Wrigley?
Nightmare.
Damn, should have gone to the cell. They love that campfire milkshake.
Yeah, they start with melted ice cream. That's what they do. They lead with it.
They turn it into the shake.
They pre-melt it for you.
You don't need spoons for that.
Yeah, they even give you a campfire with it. Like, dude, it's a whole campfire, right? Do I have this correct?
I watched none of the game.
How did Eli take it? Was he pumped? Like, did he like it enough?
He was not afraid of the crowd. He dug it. He was a good. He was a trooper with everything. It was, you know, we'd never just like taken him right through, skipped the whole night. Yeah, he was great.
Great.
He was great, but really get it. Didn't really understand where he was.
And when you pitched it, I thought maybe like Owen fought a homeless man, and that's like why it was so bad. And like,
we had to do a little. We had to
acquire a crowd.
There was a guy on the red line home who just started smoking a cigarette right next to us.
I was told that doesn't happen
on the train.
In Peter's ponderings yesterday, I was told I was lying about people lighting up on the
board. The guy didn't have a dog. He didn't have a dog though, right?
I said it was
a dog smoking.
That's right.
It was Triumph the dog. Whatever you call it.
It's really chaps my ass is when there's a dog there. I don't mind the crack.
Yeah, I was told that was a bad that people just lie about that.
No, I said to Steph, I was like, hey, let's get off at the next stop. And she was looking at me like, it's not our next stop. And we just got off and then got right back on the train in the next car where there wasn't someone smoking a cigarette right next to a 2-year-old. Okay.
But by the way, Shane, I heard about your incident with the dog on the train on multiple radio stations.
Did you happen to hear it this morning on our direct competitor and they named me by name?
I thought that was very nice of them to promote our show.
I think we need to take the producers from our competitor to radio school and then we'll teach them that you don't mention your competitors by name.
You know, teachers at the radio school, or at least he used to, is our guy Dustin. Dustin could really.
Oh, here's what you do. You don't want to talk about the competitors as a producer and wear a vest. Oh, what a moment! You know, it's like it could really take care of.
Really not good. A great track record of those Illinois media school kids coming through here. So,
oh man,
oh boy,
yeah. Well,
kind of straight away from that.
Where is that?
That's why Peter, U of I.
Oh, there
you go. Yeah.
Yep. New yeah. crop.
Can't wait for the good ponderings.
Yeah, Radio School, Peter, don't talk about the competitors and name the individuals by name.
Right, it's why it's why I never bring up Wojo on this show. I just never do it.
We mention Cap sometimes. It's fine, but I break the rules also. Spieg says he's got
a killer mentality.
That's when we mention him. We mention him when he has the dog killer mentality.
Dog killer mentality.
I don't know if I want a player like that. I mean, if he's a dog or he's got a killer mentality, I'll consider it. But a dog killer mentality, yeah. It's very specific. And he's going to pick on someone your own size.
It's mean. We like our dogs on the L around here. We don't like dog killer mentalities. We do have a category that is too tough for categories, according to Matt Spiegel. Next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.